the fisherman. Mahmoud sat on the corniche watching the sunset. Noah and Khaled were playing in the sand, and the waves were crashing in. The amber globe of the sun sank towards the horizon, turning the sea into rippling gold and making Alexandria's shoreline buildings glow. His fishing was done, the catch taken to market. Nothing further to occupy him before supper except to sit here in this lovely spot at the tail end of the day, having a smoke. But Mahmoud was not his usual happy self. The sadness in his soul was like a poison. He had always been a hard-working man, and that had not changed. Like his father before him, he went out into the Mediterranean daily, casting his net into its glittering waters with a prayer on his lips. Always up early, always out first for the best fish, the fattest, tastiest, juiciest fish, the ones that were to be found on the magical cusp of dawn. He provided for his family, and, since the death of his wife, may she rest in peace, he had cared alone for his children. They were his pride and his reward, one of them at university and the younger two still at school, but all thriving, all doing well. His eldest daughter, Ezra, was a science major and was always trying to educate him, telling him about imbalances in the ecosystem and the release of potentially lethal greenhouse gases, blinding him with facts about plastic waste, doom and gloom, misery and destruction. He couldn't take it in. "You do the science and I'll catch the fish," he would say, and he'd turn the music up and jiggle about to Kalthum's soaring voice and make them all laugh. He was a loving father, and that hadn't changed either. But now, as the sun dipped down, there was a bitter taste in his mouth. "Got through that rough patch, I see," his friend and neighbour Ahmed had said to him when they were playing taller at the sidewalk cafe on Saturday afternoon. And Mahmoud had nodded and tried to smile, unable to speak, wishing he hadn't drawn attention to his increased earnings by buying everyone mint tea and cake. Ahmed was referring to the slack period when Mahmoud went out in his boat as usual but returned almost empty-handed. When he hauled in his net over and over and sometimes felt the weight of it as he tugged and was momentarily hopeful, but then would find it full of dead fish and would have to tip them back day after day as if he was cursed. The catch was a fraction of what it had been before. He had three children to raise and no one else to turn to. He borrowed money from his friends and fear gripped him. The decision made itself. That was how it seemed. Perhaps that was how wrongdoing always seemed to the perpetrator. He hadn't said to himself, "I'm going to keep these dead fish and sell them at the wholesalers and pretend they were alive when I caught them." He had just found himself doing it one day, and the fish had fetched a good price and no one the wiser. And so it went on. He kept thinking he would be discovered. But the wholesaler loaded the fish onto trucks and they disappeared somewhere inland. And if, at a table in Damanhur or a cafe in Tanta, some diner was getting sick, what had that to do with Mahmoud? He used to be a good man, and now he wasn't. That was what had changed. It was eating him up inside. It was difficult to hide his misery from the children. Ezra, fortunately, was taken up with her own interests. She had joined an environmental group. She wore a big T-shirt with Guardian of the Sea emblazoned on the front and went out with a group of activists. He hadn't listened over much to what the activities were, but they were wholesome, kept her occupied, and made her less despondent. She was busy with her own life and not mindful of her father. But there was no hiding from Noha. 11 years old and sharp as a razor. "What is it, Baba? Why are you so sorrowful?" she said. She reminded him of her mother when she looked at him with such intensity. "Nothing," he always replied, and tried to smile. Mahmoud looked at her now, down on the beach, huddled with Khaled, whispering something in his ear. The thought of what he was doing made Mahmoud's head spin, but he couldn't see a way out. He got wearily to his feet. "Come on, kids. Let's go home," he said. A few days later, when he got to the Corniche to meet his kids, he was greeted with a cheer. There was a beach barbecue going on, people sitting in groups with flame-cooked fish on plates in their laps. He saw Ahmed among the throng and one or two of the other taller players. The kids' friends were there too. Noha came running to meet him and held his hand. "It's for you, Baba," she said. They had clubbed together to buy fish. "My fish? To make you happy again." And for a second, or perhaps it was only a tenth of a second, he nearly was happy again because his children had organized this beautiful party to cheer him up. They were good kids and he loved them. He stood on the sand surrounded by the laughter of youngsters and the salty sizzle of fish frying on the fires, and he managed for that microsecond to keep the knowledge of the poisoned fish at bay. And then it came crashing in like the waves. "No," he shouted. "Stop." After Mahmoud had admitted what he had done, after he had begged forgiveness, after the kids had stopped being sick, after all of that, he sat at the kitchen table with his head in his hands, and finally he started to listen to what his eldest daughter was saying. "People are killing the fish with this trash they throw in our lovely Mediterranean," she said. He knew it was true. He had tried not to know, to close his eyes to it. Now he stared it in the face and felt despair. "What can be done?" he asked. "Clean it up. Stop littering. Prevent single-use plastic. Inform people. What can I do? Tell the other fishermen what you know. Make them listen." Now, every Saturday afternoon, instead of playing taller at the cafe, Mahmoud leads his crew of white t-shirted fishermen gathering rubbish from the beaches. And he takes young guardians out in his boats, the divers and the gatherers of plastic, casting their nets and their bodies into the glittering waters with a prayer on their lips.
The Fisherman was read by Oliver Morton, senior editor at The Economist. The story is part of the University of Exeter's Green Futures. We still have a chance. 12 stories for 12 days of COP27.